Eskom initially announced stage 2 load shedding from 9 a.m. this morning, but that changed when by 1 o'clock they announced that that had moved up to stage 4 load shedding. The utility says that some 6 units went down, which necessitated it to shed this amount of supply. To take us through the technicalities and whether we need to be concerned going forward, I'm joined on the line by Chris Yelland. He's an energy analyst at EE Publishers. Thanks very much, Chris, as always, to have you on the show. My understanding is that stage 4 load shedding speaks to 4,000 megawatts of power being taken off the grid, but when it starts in a given neighborhood, how long can people expect to be without power for?
Well, Nampo, I think this depends on who your electricity supplier is. So, for example, many municipalities would load shed at 2-hour sort of periods or intervals to avoid too much disruption on any particular customer. But I am told that City Power have a period of 4 hours because they feel that load shedding, switching off of various areas, actually impact negatively on their equipment and does damage to their equipment. So they want to switch off less frequently.
Yes.
It depends on who your supplier is.
Right, okay. So people just basically need to consult with their municipality schedules in order to know.
Exactly.
Right. So Eskom tells us that 6 power units went down all of a sudden this morning. Has the maintenance situation at Eskom become so bad that this type of situation could occur again?
The maintenance situation has been allowed to deteriorate, I think largely as a result of monetary constraints, but the Eskom have indicated that they are going to put more money aside going forward to do more maintenance. One mustn't expect that maintenance can be an immediate or quick win. The kind of deep level maintenance required cannot all be done simultaneously on all generation units and has to be done step by step to avoid disruption on the supply. So deep level maintenance can take up to 3 months of a generation being shut down. So to get this thing back under control is not just a quick fix over Christmas. It requires deep level maintenance. It could take a year or even a couple of years.
Yeah. I remember before Christmas, the Minister of Public Enterprises, Pravin Gordhan, doing a press conference saying that he was hopeful that Eskom could reassure the nation that we wouldn't have load shedding until at least after the holidays. And that indeed came to pass. And now we're in February and it looks as though we're getting very, very intense load shedding. Do you think that this is going to continue, given the fact that he also mentioned that there was a lack of maintenance for a long time, the deep level maintenance that you've just referred to, and a lack of necessary skills at the utility, which you can't just pick up tomorrow?
Exactly. I interviewed the COO of Eskom shortly before Christmas and asked him what were his biggest worries and the things that kept him awake at night, and he indicated that the skill situation with Eskom, the people problems, having the right people with the right place within Eskom was his biggest concern. Eskom have lost a lot of skills, and many of these take many decades of experience. You've got to understand, Eskom power stations are not standard plants with an operating manual that you can learn about in a book. The people need to virtually grow up on those power plants from the day they are commissioned, and understand all the details and the quirks of that particular plant, which is unique and not replicable out of a textbook. So those skills are very precious, and if you lose them, you lose a lot of institutional memory of the particular issues of a plant that are unique and vary from plant to plant. In terms of will these problems continue, you've got to understand, a week ago somebody asked me, why are we not having load shedding in January and early February? A week later, people are asking, why are we having load shedding? the reason, of course, is that at the moment, the line between not having load shedding and having load shedding is very, very thin at the moment. The reason for that is because we don't have adequate reserve generation capacity, and therefore it just takes one or two units or a few units to simultaneously trip out on a random basis, on an unplanned basis, and suddenly we move from no load shedding and are plunged into the load shedding and what we've seen today. I must say that having 6 units out simultaneously is extremely extremely unusual and certainly is raising a lot of eyebrows.
What's happening with Medupi and Kusile, and how much has the taxpayer paid for those plants, and why aren't they filling the gap?
The situation in Medupi and Kusile, as announced by Eskom late last year, is that they are experiencing design problems as well as execution problems in the construction of these power plants. So these new power plants, which should be operating like a new car, you know, with a high availability, are in fact experiencing regular trip-outs, as well as the plants that are running are not able to run at full load. In other words, they cannot achieve their rated output, delivering less power than they should be delivering. This is a serious issue. It's going to require time and money to resolve. And you asked the question about how much is Medupi and Kusile costing us. I wish it was more transparent. I wish Eskom was more transparent about this. But what we can say is I would imagine in the region at the moment of 150 billion rand each, about 300 billion. But with the cost and time overruns that are occurring, the goalposts keep on shifting. And at this stage, we don't know exactly what it's costing us. And I'm not even sure whether Eskom know either.
Yeah. Chris, when you talk about design problems, I mean, it sounds absolutely incredible that you could get a design wrong for this type of situation. Does that also speak to a lack of skills? I know there was a lot of importation of sort of developed world companies that came into South Africa to help build. How could something like this, you know, be gotten so wrong, pardon the terrible English, because now, like you say, it's going to cost the taxpayer even more money, and we don't have the power that we need.
Now, one of the problems is that Eskom undertook the job of the sort of integrator of all the different contracts. So instead of placing one contract for the whole project, which would clearly put the responsibility into that particular main contractor, effectively Eskom took on the role of being the main contractor and placed at least 20 or 30 big subcontracts, and then took on the responsibility of integrating all these projects, and it takes on that responsibility itself. Now, the problems very often are at the interfaces between these projects, and that requires a very special skill in order to integrate them properly. Especially, as I say, the dividing line between different projects. For example, the dividing line between the boiler and the turbine, between the turbine and the alternator, and the control systems, and the balance of plants. To do the system integration, it requires special skills and a lot of experience. And I do believe that Eskom acknowledge that they lost a lot of these construction skills that they used to have, because they went for a period of some 20 years without building new power stations. And in that 20 years, you lose a lot of institutional memory and skills that move on to other projects around the world, because these skills are in high demand, and if you can't keep them busy, they'll move to other areas where they can get jobs.
Chris, because of time constraints, but I do want to ask you this. The president announced at SONA that Eskom is going to be split into three. So what? Is it going to make a difference? They still have 420 or so billion rands of debt.
Yeah, it's a very important first step, but it does not address the immediate debt problems. The immediate debt problems are going to need to be addressed by a lot of different parties taking some of the pain. So, for example, the first person that's going to experience some pain is the customers of electricity. It's going to need to put the price of electricity up in order to cover its costs as well as its interest and finance costs. So certainly the customer is going to have to bear part of the pain. But there's more to it than that. So, for example, the staff and people at Eskom, I believe, are going to have to take some of the pain, because Eskom staff costs are way too high and they are overstaffed. So there is the possibility of cutting salary increases and bonuses and reducing the staff complement. So the staff have got to come to the table. The suppliers of coal are going to have to come to the table. Eskom is going to have to recapitalize its cost-plus mines and move away from the previous strategy that Eskom had under the previous CEO, Brian Malefi, of not owning the bakery but just buying the bread. That strategy has proved very expensive for Eskom, and Eskom is moving into a new strategy of recapitalizing the tired collieries or the cost-plus collieries. Finally, even financial institutions are going to have to bear some of the pain by restructuring Eskom debt, extending the repayment terms and perhaps even the interest terms. This could even be a restructuring of debt led by the World Bank or the International Monetary Fund, which will put a lot of pressure on discipline onto Eskom, but will also impact severely on the rest of the country. Ultimately, everybody is going to have to bear some of the pain in order to get Eskom out of its financial dilemma.
Well, let's hope for some light at the end of the tunnel, Chris. Thanks very much for your time. As always, that was Chris Yelland. He's an energy analyst at EE Publishers.